3, K-News Radio, K-News Afternoons. My name is Paul Marshall. Welcome back. You're listening to K-News. FM 94.3, AM 970, 1140, and 1250. It is the Desert's News Talk Superstation. Before I move on, I know we've got a couple of callers to get into as we continue talking about the Arizona bill. Obviously, a big story. You've been hearing about it every hour here on K-News. And it opens up a huge Pandora's box of subjective interpretation and potential racial profiling and all of the things that are not supposed to happen in the United States of America. But something's got to be done. I just don't know what the answer is. Ed in Yucca Valley, do you have an answer for me here on K-News?
Yeah, I'm not sure that I have an answer for that big mega problem, shall we say. But you made a knee-jerk statement with regards to $65 will get you out of anything in Mexico. And that is just a knee-jerk statement. That's not true. I have a cousin, second cousin actually, who's in prison for over 30 months.
Wow.
And $4,000 to a Mexican attorney didn't do any good for this person. It just had to run its course. And during the time that my cousin was in the Mexican jail or prison, actually it was, the only thing she got from the American consulate was 30 pills a month, vitamin pills. And, you know, I think you're being very knee-jerk reactionary to the Tea Partiers. You know, I don't think your statements about them are any more true than the $65 out of anything. You're very liberal in your approach to this, and I think you are guilty of pulling the racism card, which just isn't true. You're just you're reacting to something that it's something that you want to talk about and you want to emphasize, but I don't think there's any truth in your statement.
There's no truth. You've never been in Rosarito or down in Mexico and gotten yourself in trouble and arrested and had a federale say, well, how much do you have, senor, to get yourself out of jail?
Well, I just told you I have a cousin who got arrested there.
What did they do?
Spent over 30 months in a prison.
What did they do?
A Mexican attorney. I visited her personally.
What?
Once a month for 27 months, taking her food, taking her sheets.
What did she do?
Windows, all kinds of things.
What did she do?
She tried to get into the United States with 42 kilos of marijuana in a 50-foot motorhome.
She deserves to be imprisoned. It is illegal.
Nobody's arguing that.
Well, so don't put her up. Don't put her up on the cross. Don't put her up on the cross. If you're going to claim that I'm a liberal, don't put her up on the cross because she was unfairly treated by being put in a Mexican jail for trying to smuggle drugs into the United States of America. You have no credibility. How dare you? You have no credibility. I have no sympathy. If your cousin had done something like, oh, I don't know, stumbled out of a bar drunk and fell down flat on her face and being drunk in public, and they in person, your cousin did in Mexico what the Midnight Express, all intents and purposes. Don't expect me to have sympathy for your drug smuggling cousin. How dare you? Hypocrite. Call me a liberal. I'm a free-thinking American. And I think it's hilarious, hilarious that you would call me, that you would have the audacity to call me and try and critique my $65 will get you out of trouble in a Mexican jail. First of all, get a sense of humor. Anybody that's ever been down to TJ and gotten themselves into a little skirmish of trouble has been extorted by the federales. It's a common experience. It's a stereotype that exists because it's real. For you to pull that card on me and then try to make your cousin a martyr, put her up on the cross like I'm supposed to feel bad for her because she tried to smuggle 50 kilos of pot in the United States. Of course she's in jail. Unbelievable. Don't call me a liberal, you hypocrite. Wow! I'm better now. That's what talk radio is all about, right? I'm supposed to blow up and yell. Isn't that what I'm supposed to do, right? I'm not doing it right? Damn it. John of Bermuda Dunes, welcome to K-News. How are you, man? John?
Good, good, good. Thank you.
Did I scare you away, John? I'm sorry.
You feel strongly about your views. I do disagree with you totally on a lot of issues. But,
and that's fine.
It's cool. On the guy's last comment, versus the question of whether it's racism, I think a lot of people are off base on that, but that isn't my main point, because I think it's really an issue of ethnicity and culture, not race. The races, and there's multiple races in Mexico like there are in the United States, and it's all different flavors of people. So I don't think you can call it racism.
Why? Well, I will call it. I will stop calling it racism. I will stop. I haven't called it racism. What I said is it opens up a door and a Pandora's box for racial profiling. When the first illegal immigrant in the state of Arizona from Scotland or Ireland is pulled over and asked for their papers and deported from this country or arrested for being an illegal immigrant from Ireland, then I will have no argument whatsoever. But the spirit of this law has nothing to do with illegal immigrants. It has everything to do with Mexicans.
Okay, but I have litigated. I'm an attorney. I've litigated issues of reasonable suspicion.
Okay.
And I think the way the law reads, and I have not read it, so I'll have to admit that.
Right.
But from what I can hear, is that reasonable suspicion by a police officer gives him a right to question further about the national origin of the individual.
Right. And what is reasonable
suspicion could be something like not having a license in the state you're driving. Hello, sir. Do you have a license? No, I don't have a license. Well, sir, are you a U.S. citizen?
Right.
That's not an unreasonable question. So I think that the law as it stands, and I think you're going to find you're going to get shocked, that when this goes up on appeal, of course it's going to go up on appeal.
Of course it is.
When it goes up on appeal, it is going to be upheld.
Well, I think that the problem is the way, and if you've listened to the news reports we've heard, and again, none of us have really, I don't have the law in front of me, I wish I did, but the way the news has reported it, the way CBS News is reporting it to us, it says this bill would require, not made a discretionary, require police officers who have suspicion that you don't belong here in the United States to question subjects, all right? In the United States...
You have to start with that first sentence, reasonable suspicion.
Exactly.
Define reasonable suspicion.
Like
a man without a driver's license, a man without insurance, those are reasonable suspicions to say maybe this person isn't legal in this state for some reason.
Right, but
I think you're putting more emphasis on the latter part of it. That then they can ask questions. Where are you from? Yes, but you got to go through the first step first.
And I had a
reasonable suspicion.
And I had a law enforcement or an alleged member of law enforcement retired say to me that he has the right to engage the public here in the United States. Right? They have the right. A police officer can come up to, and I use this as a fictitious example, but four cholos in front of the 7-Eleven in Indio, right? Four guys dressed in traditional cholo garb, right? Mm-hmm. And the police gets out of his car, walks over to them, and starts saying hello, starts mentioning to them. He is under the impression that if he engages the public, that the public is under an obligation to engage him in return. And police officers all over America stop people who are walking down the street who look like they might be suspicious. I don't know what suspicious is. So whatever suspicion is suspicion, and that's got to be probable cause. And again, that's a subjective thing, and a lot of attorneys make a lot of money proving that the police had no reason to question the suspect. But we are under no legal obligation in the United States of America to provide identification to any member of law enforcement.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
But then...
No, you're absolutely right there. There's no obligation.
But then...
You know, in terms of the, you know, reasonable suspicion, what if they do see them doing something wrong?
You're there. Go ahead. Let him finish. Put them back up.
I'm on the radio.
No, let him finish. Go ahead. What you were saying, yeah, that's, and again, I don't think there's any argument. If you have committed a crime or you're under investigation for some sort of behavior that is outside of what's considered a societal norm, then yes, you're open to investigation. But
yeah.
This law, the way it's being presented, says that police, for any reason, if they suspect you're not a United States citizen, they can stop you and ask you questions about that. And as an attorney, you should know this, that's against the Fourth Amendment.
Not if it's a reasonable suspicion of the fact that they are not a U.S. citizen permanent resident.
Define reasonable suspicion. Walking down the street, a guy gave me an example earlier. Guy walking down the street, looks like he hasn't bathed in a couple of days. Maybe he's right along the Mexicali border, all right? Maybe he just came across.
That's not reasonable.
Exactly. And that's where we have to have a defined criteria of reasonable suspicion. And the way this law reads, the way it's being presented to us, is they can stop you. It's like the old seatbelt law. If you didn't have your seatbelt on, they couldn't pull you over for it. But if you got pulled over for something else and you weren't wearing your seatbelt, then you got tagged. It's the sort of the same idea. I don't think anybody is saying if you're involved in some sort of a police public engagement, conversation, whatever it is, but the police have no right just to stop a brown person or people driving around in a pickup truck for no apparent reason. They cannot stop them and demand to see identification. We can't do that in the United States.
Yeah, that was established in Florida when they were trying to stop people and profile them just because they were black driving down the highway.
Right, and I think we really are on the same page. I think it's a matter of you're focusing on one aspect of the phrase, I'm focusing on the other, and the fact exactly. of the matter is the phrase is open to question, and whenever there's question or questionable interpretation, we can't enact the law. The law has to be black and white.
Not exactly. If you're allowed to use if what happens is in our legal system, it's going to get defined by the courts. What's the reasonable suspicion? And
more money spent.
There's an issue how close it gets to the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah, more money spent though, more administrative costs, more things that we have to spend money on rather than worrying about the real crimes that are going on in the United States of America. I agree with you. Thank you so much for the phone call.
Thank you.
And I appreciate your patience and the fact that we disagree. That's fine too. I mean, nobody says that you have to agree with what I'm trying to say. My opinions are my own, and I make no apologies for them, and I don't mean to offend. We're just here talking. I think discussion is the first step towards solution. So we should at least be able to discuss, and if we disagree, then let's do it with civility, unless you are a hypocrite and try to accuse me of being a bleeding-heart liberal when you're trying to defend a drug smuggler. Unbelievable. It's KNews FM 94.3, AM 970, 1140, and 1250, the Desert's News Talk Superstation. Wow, do I owe an apology? I'm going to apologize right now.
The following undersigned hereby and unequivocally offer the following apology. Understanding and agreeing that heretofore and for all of perpetuity, Paul Marshall hereby apologizes to...
Everyone?
For offending...
Everybody.
On the topic of...
Well, everything I talk about. Jokes, you know?
This statement of sorrow hereby holds Mr. Marshall and his partners, family members, affiliate stations, associates, and acquaintances harmless and not liable for any and all moments of grief, including but not limited to the topic of...
Everything that comes out of my mouth.
And shall include all actions that may in any way cause repercussions of a negative nature to be bestowed by the entity that is the Paul Marshall Radio Program. We now return to the
thing I'll have to apologize for again tomorrow.
Already in progress.
Yeah, very important to understand, not to take what I say so seriously that it ruins your life or your weekend. It's just a radio program, man. You know what my job is? To entertain you while you're listening to KNews. I appreciate you doing so. But I do owe a sincere and humble apology. Robert in Cathedral City, I cannot believe that you are still waiting on hold, and I apologize for making you hold as long as you have. My God, man, please accept my apologies. I would never have done that had I known you were still on the line.
Accepted. No problem.
I'm so sorry, man. An hour and a half you've been waiting?
Hour and 48 minutes, yeah.
My God, man, I am so sorry.
Not a problem. It's an issue that's very important to me, and I need to tell you the perspective I'm coming from. So
by all means,
for a second.
No, the show is yours now. You've waited long. The rest of the show is yours. You can have it.
I'm a contractor here in Palm Springs area, Southern California.
Okay.
I lose probably 6 to 7 out of every 10 bids to legal and illegal aliens,
yep.
Green card holders, and
right.
non-green card holders that are running illegal construction businesses.
Okay.
I've had 4 stolen cars. All of them from illegal aliens, and I know that for a fact because I caught one myself with a gun. The sheriff's caught the other 3. I've had 3 stolen equipment trailers. I've had my truck window smashed out 4 times in a row.
Wow.
Not to mention some of the jobs that I've gone to in construction, I've seen them using my equipment on the jobs. My sister lives in Mesa, Arizona. She was abducted by 2 illegals from an ATM machine, beaten and robbed in the ATM to maximum limit for two days.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was unusual, but the Border Patrol told me so that about 400 to 500 women a year are abducted from border states.
Mm-hmm.
My supervisor's wife was at Food for Less in Indio. A couple of, I guess they were like MS-13 members, gangbangers or something.
Uh-huh.
Illegals, beat his wife really bad, put her in an emergency room, dragged her through the parking lot by her purse in a car. My kids are afraid to go to school. Some of the Mexican gangs at the schools are upset that he's dating a Hispanic girl, and they threaten to shank him. So that's the perspective I'm coming from.
And you know what? I understand that, and you are well within reason to feel the way that you were about to express to me.
And the way that I feel, first of all, is my anger is directed towards the federal government.
Okay.
The state of Arizona would not have had to gone to these extremes had they, performed their duty.
I agree.
I firmly believe that well, Bush, all of them, Bush, Obama, all of them are part of this, you know, soon-to-be North American Union thing coming up, and I think they're just promoting the lack of borders. But Arizona, I think, you know, could have done a little bit better job in defining basically a law by attrition, so that if you pull over a person and they cannot show proper ID, then you get into their citizenship.
Exactly.
I have a guy that used to work for me that was a illegal immigrant from Sweden, okay, a white guy. He was pulled over, found that his visa was expired, and they deported him.
Okay.
They, without question. They said, you got to get out of the country. They gave him a certain amount of time. He packed up the stuff, got a plane ticket, and he went away.
Yeah, but see, if it's a Swedish immigrant or an Irish immigrant or one of the nice people, the government
will... send them home right away.
Exactly. The government will enact, will act quickly and with impunity. They're absolutely... efficient. That is one of the prime examples of government efficiency right there, is when they throw out the good people. But,
correct. Now,
but
if you go to
them,
the website, it's called the Center for Immigration Studies in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And they are a pro-immigration website, so their statistics, I tend to believe, are on the lean side.
Okay.
But they have some of the statistics you'll find astounding. 65% of all of the occupants of HUD low-income housing are undocumented. 38% of all inmates in the state of California prisons are undocumented. 95% of all murder warrants are undocumented. The numbers are incredible. And at the very bottom of their list, only 2% of undocumented immigrants are working in the fields.
Are working in the what?
They work in the fields picking crops.
Right.
The reason the green card was established in the first place.
Right.
Now, my experience has been that a majority of them, they just create cash businesses, landscaping, cleaning pools, construction, you name it. They don't pay any of the expenses that all of us legal business owners pay, and we lose a majority of our work to them because they have no overhead. It's all cash.
And I absolutely agree that that's wrong. That's improper. And look, I don't want it to be misconstrued that I think that illegal immigrants should be given a pass. I don't think that's the case. What I'm saying
is crime is incredible.
I understand that. I completely understand that. But there are also, and again, statistics can be manipulated in any way that we see fit to make them fit our agenda. I understand.
Sure.
I could probably dig up another website that's pro-immigration that will tell you, you know, 84% of illegal undocumented workers are, you know, working in the health industry and are you know, babysitting puppies. You know what I mean? I'm not trying.
Our anger should be directed at the federal government.
I think everybody's angry at the federal government, and that's why I said to you earlier, I believe that we are looking at a potential future civil war of secession coming when you start seeing things like the state of California and the state of Vermont voting that they want to legalize marijuana across the board, and then the state of Arizona wants to enact the legislation that they've just enacted, and the state of Nevada does their thing, and the state of South Carolina does their thing. You're starting to see states that are trying to operate independently of the Republic of the United States, and that's...
Well, you have to, because the federal government is not upholding its end of the bargain.
Uh-oh.
And I have a little bit of an issue with you, sir, before I go.
All right.
I've been to a lot of the Tea Parties. I've never attended any kind of political anything in my life. I did not vote for Obama or McCain. Frankly, McCain was for amnesty, and I was opposed to it. And
okay.
Obama, I just didn't like his associates when he was coming up through the ranks. But I hoped that Obama would do at least some of the things he said he would do that were positive.
Well, he
now,
bailed out General Motors, and it worked.
Well, he has no business bailing them out. They need to go to bankruptcy court. That's not the federal government's job, and it's not in the Constitution.
They paid their loan back.
The point that I'm trying to make is most of the Tea Party goers that I have met, and I've met thousands of them, are opposed to the social policies.
Well, then they should
not his color. We don't care then, what color he is.
Then I hope that they didn't drive on the I-10.
Free market republic, a constitutional republic, not emulating European social economics.
Well, then I hope that they didn't drive on the I-10 to get to the rally, and I hope that they don't call the police department if their house is ever invaded by an intruder, and I hope that if there's a fire in your neighborhood, you don't call the fire department, and you don't send your children to the public school system, and you stop using the town supplied water supply. Those are all socialist.
Have you ever been to Europe?
Those are all socialist programs.
Have you ever been to Europe?
I have only been to the island of Tortola, which is technically England.
Well, I spent 6 years in Germany in the Army, and I traveled all over Europe.
Right.
Anytime you cross any of the borders anywhere, you have to show your papers to get in and out of every country you go to, and they're very efficient at it. And
but
if
within,
you don't have your papers, you don't go, period.
But within the country, you don't. But within the country, once you're in the country, you know, this is the first setup for the border state. I mean, look, the aggro check, I think, is an unreasonable search and see a search. When we go, when we cross into Nevada, or we cross into Arizona, we cross into Texas, anywhere that we cross into, I think that the aggro check is an unreasonable search. They're trying to see if we're smuggling people.
Well, from the information I read on the Center for Immigration Studies, the total cost of undocumented foreign nationals in the country
sure.
approaches $500 billion annually.
Right.
About $12.8 billion, I believe, is California's annual.
Unbelievable.
And that, you know, by itself would pay for the total federal government expenses or pay for Obama's health care.
And I agree. And again, you know, when people like to pull the socialism card, and I appreciate the call, and thank you. I'm so sorry that you had to wait as long as you did. When people pull the socialism card, you got to understand, socialism is so selective. You accept socialism in your life every day. You know it. I know it. Again, if Obama were Clinton, there wouldn't be this national outrage. You know it, and I know it. It's KNews, FM 94.3, the Desert's News Talk Superstation. Friday afternoon. What was I thinking? I was looking at statistics online. You know, people are complaining, and this is a tangential discussion, but I mentioned the Tea Party, and I mentioned that I believe that were Obama to not be slightly darker than our historical presidential standard, there wouldn't be such division in this country, and I firmly believe that. I firmly believe, you call it the Tea Party, call it the birther movement, call it what you want. There's an underlying element that we, white people, are losing our country. And I talked about this yesterday, and I've talked about it before, and racism is a topic that we can get into, but we will never, ever, ever truly get there to the heart of, because racism is in every one of us. You can say you don't see skin pigment, but you absolutely do, because we're animals. And when something different happens, when something out of the norm happens in the animal kingdom, the entire herd of animals shows a little bit of discontent for a while. And I firmly believe that were Barack Obama to be Bill Clinton or Jimmy Carter, yeah, there'd be the legitimate criticism coming from the Republicans, but not the kind of cross-country tours that people like Sarah Palin and Sean Hannity and a lot of conservatives are involved in. And if that makes me a bleeding heart liberal, then so be it. But guess what? White people, we don't run this country. And the fact that we have a black president is just the next step in our evolution as a nation. And when we elect our first Latino president, what are you going to do then? You're going to freak out. And for those of you that think that Obama is responsible for how the financial situation of this country, you elected your guy the second time. And the market is at an 18-month high. How long has Obama been in office? Let's do this right. January to January, February, March, April. Oh, my God. The stock market is at its highest point since the Bush administration. That means the economy is rebounding. All of you, shut up. Be honest with yourselves. Knock that off. All right. I feel better about myself. Let's move on. You know what? If you don't think the death penalty is a deterrent, what about this guy in Utah, Ronnie Lee Gardner? Because all good killers have three names. Ronnie Lee Gardner is scheduled to be put to death on the 18th of June in the state of Utah. It's going to be their first execution in more than a decade. Ronnie has more balls than Spalding. Ronnie has decided that he doesn't want to take the easy way out. I'm not going to take the coward's way out, the weak way out. Ronnie, how would you like to die? Behind door number one, you've got lethal injection, and I actually bid on California's lethal injection machine when it was on eBay back in 2001, 2002. Remember that? When the state's lethal injection up in Sacramento went on eBay. I think it sold for like $6,000-$7,000. I put money in on it. I bid on it. I was going to serve drinks out of it. True story. You got lethal injection. four or five different cylinders, each containing a certain liquid. The executioner pushes the buttons. You've seen it. You've seen it in, what's that Susan Sarandon movie? Dead Man Walking? Right. You've seen Lethal Injection on movies. You've seen it in the films. Ronnie Lee, behind door number one, you can take that way. Or we can line up five men or women who are police officers, and you can choose death by firing squad. Awesome. Awesome. Ronnie Lee says, get, shoot me. I'm out. That's awesome. I'm sorry. I'm not gonna... Death by firing squad. Now, we get into a bigger discussion as to whether or not the death penalty is inhumane, deterrent, blah, 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 blah. Look, once you've taken a human life, once it's been determined that you have done whatever you've done is so heinous, you trade your right to life. You know, everybody likes to say, you know, and today people think because I show compassion for American citizens, Mexican-American citizens, African-American citizens, citizens that don't look like white-bread, suburban, middle-class, safe Americans, because that's really what my outrage is on the Arizona law. My outrage is not against, I'm not saying that illegal immigrants shouldn't be prosecuted or that we shouldn't enforce illegal immigration laws. What I'm saying is the way that this law is written in Arizona, and everybody's talking about it, you heard it on the news, you're going to hear about it tonight, I'm sure Larry King is going to talk about it, you're going to hear about it on every talk show. What it does is it opens the door for law-abiding citizens, Americans, to be hassled by the government. And unlike last week when I was talking about the Tea Party movement and how the Oklahoma Tea Party said that they should assemble a militia just in case during their Tea Party protest, they tried to buddy up with elected officials and say, you know what, we want to put together a militia because we believe that the safety of American citizens is being compromised. Well, when you allow a law like just passed in Arizona to be compromised, the safety of American citizens is no longer, it goes all in line with a running theme with whenever you've listened to me here on KNews, and that is personal accountability, personal liberty, personal responsibility. And the way that law is written in Arizona is scary. And for those of you that would call and say, well, you know, if you ever traveled across Europe, you have to show papers when you go into every different country. That's right. But we're in this country. And in this country, American citizens should not have to answer to any official in any way, shape, or form. This is not the Eastern Bloc. This is not Korea. This is not China. The police cannot just come up to you and demand to see your identification. It's illegal. It's against the Constitution. And this law in Arizona is in direct contrary to the way the Constitution was set up. Willie in Pioneertown, you've been waiting for a long time. Welcome to KNews.
To listen to you.
What's up?
On the immigration thing.
Okay.
And I think the whole matter really is a civil rights matter.
Yeah, no, and here's a question. Do non-American citizens, do civil rights extend to citizens that are not American citizens?
Well, I want to take it one step backward, okay?
Okay.
The immigration laws since the mid-20s, when they redid the whole thing,
yeah,
have been purposely and consistently weighed against non-white people.
I would not disagree with you.
And weighed against non-Christian people.
I don't care about religion.
Up until the mid-20s, the vast immigration bubble of the first two decades of the century was Eastern European, Jewish, and non-Christian, non-white, non-Western European.
I'm going to stop you right there because I don't believe religion. I want you to cut them off because I don't believe religion has anything to do with this.
No, sir. Just let me finish before you cut me off.
All right. Because it's starting to come across like this is going to become a God thing.
It has nothing to do with God.
Then bring religion out of it.
I'm a historian. I read history books. I follow statistics. I watch how things change.
Okay.
All right?
I'll let you finish then. I'll give you the courtesy.
Okay. They then passed the immigration laws of the mid-20s where they tried to recreate what they thought were the pristine racial background of the early Americans and the founding fathers. Western European, Christian, and white. And ever since that time, and we've seen people run up against that wall numerous times, the most horrific, of course, was Jews trying to escape Germany before World War II.
Mm-hmm.
But the Mexicans have also run up against that wall. And so what you have is a shell game played by America with Mexicans.
I would submit to you that nobody loves...
You're not allowed to come here legally, but we will recruit you and bring you across the border illegally to work in our factories.
I would submit to you, and you brought up the Christian nation thing, and a lot of people like to bring that up. I would submit to you that no race of people on the planet Earth loves Jesus, the deity that Christianity is formed around, the entire basis. Nobody loves Jesus more than Mexicans.
Nobody's arguing that. They fall into the non-Western European category.
And I would agree with you on that, and I think I've stated that, and if you're just joining the program, I'll get you up to date on that.
I've been here listening to you for about an hour.
Yeah, I would the first time that an Irish or a Scottish or an Australian mm-hmm. or an Eastern European, Russian, Polish, whatever, citizen is pulled over in Arizona and found to be an illegal immigrant and deported to their country, well, then my argument becomes moot.
Right.
I agree that this is absolutely a racially motivated doctrine.
Right. And my experience, sir, is I am trained as a supervisor of ritual Jewish slaughtering.
Okay. And?
I spent a considerable amount of time in the mid-80s in the Midwest flying in there in the... at the beginning of the week, doing my job and then flying home for Shabbos, okay,
mm-hmm.
working with those large meatpacking and slaughtering houses in the Midwest. And I watched a union, of which I was not a part because I was hired as a consultant, not an employee of the company, okay,
mm-hmm.
I watched a well-disciplined, well-organized union of Americans in that area be destroyed as the slaughterhouses and the packing houses illegally recruited, brought in, housed, and hired a whole separate workforce so they could break the union.
No, and again, I wouldn't disagree with you, but again, I don't see what being Jewish has to do with this.
I'm just telling you why I ended up in the middle of Iowa that I could watch this.
I've been in the middle of Iowa, and I do not envy you at all.
No, well, I was living in the East. I had to fly into Iowa every Monday.
Well, I appreciate the thoughts and the sentiments. You're right. This is if white people, if this affected white people,
mm-hmm.
People would go again. It goes back to what I was just saying about the Obama thing. We have a problem with people, with those people.
Right. And what yeah. what America's done is it set up a perfect catch-22. You can't be here illegally. You can't be here illegally
unless it benefits us financially.
We will bring you in and put you to work, always keeping you on the knife's edge because you're not allowed to be here.
Sounds like slavery, doesn't it?
Well, it's a form of economic peonage.
It's indentured servitude is what it is.
Something to that effect.
Yes, absolutely, and I wouldn't disagree with you. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
You have a good weekend, and enjoy your holiday or your observance tomorrow. Meanwhile, Debbie and La Quinta's been hanging on the line. Welcome to K-News. How are you, Debbie? All right, Debbie is gone. That's all right. I'm sure she was horrified by what's been being discussed here this afternoon. A couple other things I wanted to get you up to date on. Bret Michaels from Poison, you know him if you watch The Celebrity Apprentice, in the hospital with some serious brain issues, and that's not real happy. How about what's going on up in Oakland? And we're not going to be able to get too big into it, but you want to know why people don't trust the government and why people question some of the policies? Because when the federal government does provide the state or region with some stimulus funds, they get misappropriated. Ron Dellum's up in Oakland. What happened to that $830,000 that you misplaced? You know what his response is? Somebody said, well, the $830,000 of the $3 million in stimulus grants that the city of Oakland got last year, they can't find it. It's unaccounted for. It's like 27-28% of the total funds. 28%. $830,000 missing. And Mayor Dellums, the Honorable Mayor Dellums, says, get over it. Quote, get over it. This is much ado about nothing. You've misappropriated $830,000 worth of funds. What do you mean, get over it? So there's other things. That's going to become a bigger story. Of course, up there in Northern California, in the People's Republic of Northern California, everything north of Fresno, the People's Republic of Northern California, right? That's coming, man. We're going to segregate this state. We're going to break up. The United States are neither united nor stationary anymore. You're listening to KNews FM 94.3 AM 970, 1140, and 1250, the Desert's News Talk Superstation. Oh, don't turn it down. I like that one. It's all good. K-News After News continues. It's Paul Marshall. Appreciate you listening this afternoon. Sing along if you know it. That's what I'm talking about, AC/DC. As we get ready to wrap up K-News After News, welcome to K-News FM 94.3, AM 970, 1140, 1250, the Desert's News Talk Superstation. Thank you, by the way, for listening for over the past couple of days. It's been a great experience, and I appreciate all the phone calls as we continue. I want to wrap it up with my thoughts on this whole, and I it's actually something I saw on the Bill Maher show on HBO. The former governor of the great state of Minnesota and one of my favorite professional wrestlers of all time, originally from Venice Beach, California, weighing 265 pounds, Jesse the Body Ventura, submitted something regarding the Catholic Church. And why isn't the Catholic Church being charged under the RICO Act, the Racketeering and Corrupt Organizations? Racketeering Influence and Corrupt Organizations statute, which basically says that the Vatican is organized crime. Think about that. The Vatican, according to a lawsuit now that's been filed in Milwaukee, the United States is going to say that the Roman Catholic Church is an operating business, is a functioning business, which in fact would make them subject to RICO violations in the United States for their mishandling and moving around of officials that are accused of sexual indiscretions. That's pretty amazing. There was a time when, you know, you couldn't touch the Catholic Church, but the Catholic Church has been touching you. I have a solution to what we can do with all of the priests and upper clergy that have been behaving in, well, a very intimate manner.
We interrupt your normally boring and mundane afternoon radio program with a special report on airport security. We go now live to Washington and the Congressional Congregation on Airport Security to National Security Guy, Ralph.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for coming. I'll read a prepared statement and then open the floor to questions afterwards. As we all know by now, security at our nation's airports has been heightened. Many Americans have complained about the ineffectiveness of the current team of security experts, and that's why we've decided to form a new national security team comprised of the most covert operatives known to man today. We present effective May 1st Cardinal Security. We have turned over the safety of our traveling citizens to the Catholic Cardinals, a select group of men for whom secrecy is a way of life. Know from this day forth, if you're hiding it, they'll find it. Gone is the day of the 12-year-old boy acting as a drug mule. Cardinal Security will search every crack and crevice to ensure that our children will be safe from the horrors of drugs. Terrorists will now know that Cardinal Security is there at every turn to perform a body cavity search whenever possible and to sniff out wrongdoers. We are confident that with Cardinal Security in place, you can be sure that although many of them will never be allowed to leave the state, no man, woman, or child will waltz through our nation's airports unmolested. That's all I have for our prepared statement. I will open the floor to questions. Yes, sir, you in the back.
There you have it, a live statement regarding the process of American security. We now return you to your normally boring and mundane afternoon radio program.
It's K-News FM 94.3. My name is Paul Marshall. I appreciate you listening this week, and let me just leave you with this thought. You got two eyes and two ears, two nostrils, one mouth. It's really, really important that we listen twice, look twice, smell closely, and if it stinks, use that mouth to tell anybody about it. I'm not trying to give you answers for everything. I'm just asking questions. And if you took what I've said over the past week and a half way too seriously and thought that it was enraging and affecting your life, well, at least that's a start. At least we started to pay attention. That's really kind of what I'm here for. But it's important to have a sense of humor. Otherwise, we end up like what's going on in New York right now, as the police department have decided that they have to apply extra security to Comedy Central. You know what South Park is, right?
Sweet.
South Park, Matt Stone, Trey Parker, the guys, they're from Colorado, and they have this cartoon show that's on Comedy Channel, on the Comedy Network, or the Cartoon Network. It's on the Cartoon Network. Comedy Central, whatever they're calling it this week. In any event, they've been making fun of everything for years, not unlike we have seen in all of the great classic television shows of our time. One of the most important things you need to keep in mind at all times is that what you see on television, what you hear on the radio, is simply entertainment. We really want you to listen, but we do want you to think, and if it does provoke some thoughts, well, then that's good too. An Islamic website, revolutionmuslim.com, has now threatened Comedy Central for broadcasting what they believe is an offensive cartoon. And the security has been beefed up in New York for a television show. But television shows and radio shows, don't take any of this stuff too seriously, all right? It is what it is. And I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to be here. And there's so many other things that we could talk about. I don't think we're ever going to get an answer to the immigration problem. I don't think we're ever going to get an answer to the racist problem in America or the economic financial bailouts that we've had to deal with. It's still the greatest country in the world. And try to be positive about that and understand that the essence of life really is get up, go to work, feed your family, pay your bills. If you see your neighbor down and out, lend him a hand if you can. Stop being suspicious and be a little bit more open. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you letting me sit here. And I want to thank the people at K-News. I want to thank the producers all week, Jeremy and Paul and Nate today, for having to put up with nonsense that we've had to been going through. And I invite you to have a great weekend. I'm going to go and watch the rest of the NFL draft second round because I'm that big of a geek. My best wishes to Brett Michaels for a quick recovery. For those of you that don't know, he's still in the hospital. Some serious problems. It looks like he may not make it. Bulldog Bill Feingold is up right after we check in with KPSB Local 2 News at 6 with Chris Long and Brooke Berry. You're listening to K-News Radio, 94.3 FM, online at knewsradio.com, the Desert's News Talk Superstation.